in. Cope had decorated every spare room with one of our siblings in mind. This one had been for Shep. The artwork on the walls was a series of stylized architectural drawings, and the furniture had a rustic air to it that matched Shep's tastes. I moved to the dresser, searching for a tee and some sweats. My fingers ghosted over the soft cotton of a worn Seattle Sparks t-shirt, so I pulled it out and tossed it onto the bed. Then I found sweatpants I knew I would drown in, but figured the drawstring might save me. Crossing to the bathroom, I flicked on the light. It felt brighter than necessary, and I couldn't help but study my hand. The liquid bandage stuff Dr. Avery had used had done the trick. The angry slice across my palm was nothing more than a red line now. But it would scar. And that scar would remind me of tonight. Of all Link and I had been through. I found I wasn't sorry about that. Because it would also be a reminder of all we'd overcome and how strong we were when we stood together. I lightly traced the line, feeling gratitude instead of pain, and letting that sink in. Finally, I dropped my hand and moved toward the massive tub, but as I reached for the faucet, I was plunged into darkness. Panic flashed hot and bright, digging into my muscles. Breathe. I gave myself the command over and over as I cursed myself for not having my phone or keys, the ones with the new flashlight Link had given me. Dark spots danced in front of my vision as I gripped the side of the tub. No, I wouldn't let this fear win either. It was just a stupid power outage, probably caused by record-setting temperatures earlier in the day. I forced myself to straighten, focusing on keeping my breathing even. Link was downstairs, right outside. I'd find him and we'd be fine. I slipped into the bedroom, and that's when I heard it. Footsteps. Not hurried ones the way Link's would be if he knew the power was out, but slow and measured, deliberate. And then I heard a voice. "Let's play a game, Sheridan. You hide and I'll seek. I'll even give you to the count of 10. Run while you can."
54. Lincoln.
"I just got your message. I'm so sorry. My phone was on silent. I should have checked it sooner. Are you okay? Is Arden okay?"
"Elbel, breathe," I said, stepping out into the night and gesturing for Brutus to head past the landscaping to do whatever he needed.
"You said some woman attacked you and Arden. Breathing is secondary at the moment."
I couldn't help it. A small chuckle slipped free, and God, I needed that.
"This isn't something to be laughing about, Lincoln."
Shit. I knew Ellie was seriously pissed if she was calling me Lincoln. "I'm okay. Arden's okay. She's got a cut on her palm, but that's it. She disarmed the assailant, and the woman's in jail now." An audible exhale came across the line.
"Good. That's good. Can you guys stop with all the life in danger stuff? It's getting a little old."
I laughed full out this time. "Noted. I'll try to keep things nice and boring."
"Thank you."
"How are you doing?" I asked, watching as Brutus caught the scent of something, chasing it into the underbrush.
"You, in the love of your life, nearly get knifed, and you're asking me how I'm doing?"
she asked incredulously. "Just because I have a lot going on doesn't mean you don't. I can hold both."
"You were always so good at that."
Ellie's voice went tight, as if she were trying to keep a sob from erupting. "Hey, what's going on?"
"It's nothing. It's just a long few days. Talk to Dad."
I couldn't help the curse that slipped free.
"That about sums it up,"
Ellie muttered. Then she went quiet for a long moment.
"You were right. I knew he wasn't the best dad, but I don't even think he looks at us as children. It's like we're possessions."
"I didn't want you to have to know that the way I do," I said softly.
"I was so blind to it,"
she whispered.
"So blind to it that I ended up engaged to someone who sees me the same way."
"Ellie,
it's true. And what's worse is that I don't like the person who did that, who let herself just go along with being treated like nothing more than an accessory."
My gut hollowed out. You're so much more than that.
I don't know if I am, but I'm going to change that. I told Bradley I couldn't marry him tonight.
Seriously? As much as I'd hoped my sister would break free, I knew that blowing up a years-long relationship wasn't exactly easy.
Yep.
I heard a refrigerator opening, or maybe a freezer, then ice clinking into a glass. How'd he take it?
About how you'd expect a spoiled, overgrown toddler to take anything he doesn't like.
Ellie,
it's fine, but I think I should probably put some distance between us for a while.
Come here, I said instantly.
Con, you're in the honeymoon phase. You've had a lot of drama. You don't need your little sister on your doorstep.
You're exactly who I need. It'd do me some good to have you around. Who knows, maybe you'll like it here. Ellie was quiet for a moment.
Arden did say I could be a cowgirl if I wanted to be.
A laugh bubbled out of me. Are you having some sort of quarter-life crisis?
Probably. Gonna get a cowboy hat to prove it.
You come to Sparrow Falls, I'll get one for you.
Gonna hold you to that, just like I'm going to make Arden give me some riding lessons.
God, I loved the sound of that. My sister, my girl, the warm embrace I knew the Coulsons would give Ellie. We needed it, all of it. And maybe that's what Sparrow Falls would give us both, a chance to start over, to build the family we always should have had, the one our mom had never been able to give us the way she wanted to. I can't wait, I said softly, turning toward the house. But as I did, I froze. It took me a second to realize what was off about the image that looked back at me, the lights, or the absence of them. My head jerked in the direction of Arden's place. Two windows still glowed down there. It was just Cope's place that was submerged in darkness. Panic grabbed hold, but I was already running, calling across the line. Call the sheriff's department. Tell them something's wrong. The power's out. It's wrong. Everything's wrong. I just didn't know how right I was.
55. Arden. My bare feet hit the runner on the hardwood floor, and I couldn't help but remember another rug all those years ago, one that had been so precious to my parents, only to be stained with my mother's blood. I wasn't about to let history repeat itself. The footsteps behind me continued to climb the stairs as my gaze jerked around and I tried to find my best hiding spot as pools of moonlight lit my path. Or better yet, somewhere that might house a weapon of some sort. But there were no kitchen knives or letter openers up here, and even if there were, whoever this was could have a gun. Sheridan! The voice sing-songed. It was clearly female, and familiar somehow. Panic lurched in my chest as an image of Hannah with that knife flashed in my mind. But she was in county lockup. It couldn't be her. Come out, wherever you are. I just want to play a game. Every fiber of muscle and sinew in me wound so tight, it felt like they would all snap with the barest touch. Because I did know that voice. My mind whirled as I yanked open the door to the hall closet, linens on one side, cleaning supplies on the other. I frantically searched for something, anything to defend myself with, but nothing except maybe the mop would help. Time's up, Sherry baby, the voice called. It's too boring if you don't play. The footsteps picked up speed, running up the last few stairs. I had no choice. I slipped into the closet and closed the door behind me. I'd thought it was dark before, but I was wrong. Out of the closet, there was at least some light from the moon, enough to make out my surroundings. But in here, there was nothing but blackness, the faintest glow emanating from the seam of the door. My heart hammered against my ribs, each inhale twisting and tripping as each tried to get to the next one. I squeezed my eyes shut and tried to force my breathing to slow. It was no use. And if I wasn't careful, I'd end up passing out by the time this asshole got to me. So I did the only thing I could think of. I focused on Link. Somewhere along the way, he'd become my grounding force, more than just a feeling of safety, but something that helped me step into my strength. I pictured his face in my mind, his dark brown hair and hazel eyes, the scruff I loved tracing with my fingers, the way those eyes saw right to the heart of me and reminded me exactly who I was. "What's the matter, Sheridan? Don't want to join Mommy and Daddy in the great beyond?" My eyes flew open. My breaths no longer short pants but deep, pissed off inhales. The more she spoke, the more I was certain, and the betrayal felt like a knife to the gut. Farah. But it didn't make sense. She was maybe a handful of years older than I was. She certainly couldn't have been involved in what had happened to my parents all those years ago. But she knew exactly who I was, and she wasn't here for a slumber party. My mind reeled, thinking about the day a few months ago when she'd shown up at the collective. She'd told me a story about being an artist looking for fresh inspiration. Her self-deprecating demeanor and brass jokes had lowered my walls, and it wasn't long before I invited her in. Only now I could see those conversations in a different light. The way she'd slip in the occasional question about my past, how she talked about losing her mother in an attempt to learn more about how I'd ended up with the Coulsons. I'd just never realized why. The footsteps changed tone, from shoes on hardwood to carpet, muted, only punctuated by the occasional clack as she searched room after room. I braced, my hand searching for something, anything that might help me. I stilled, my gaze locking on the faint shadow of a spray bottle. I lifted it, trying to bring the label into the faint moonlight coming in from the seam in the door. Warning, keep out of eyes. Perfect. I gripped the cleaning spray, my fingers tightening around the trigger. The footsteps slowed. Not right in front of the closet, but close. A sigh sounded. "This is growing old, Sheridan." I shuddered at the name, because it didn't belong to me anymore. I was Arden in every way that mattered. And more than that, I was a Coulson. Farah said dramatically, so like the woman I'd grown to know, but different. Because there was a coldness beneath it that I'd never heard before. Where could the scared little artist be hiding? I wonder. The door to the closet flew open, and I didn't wait. I sprayed the cleaning solution like there was no tomorrow. Farah jerked back, a strangled sound leaving her throat. You bitch! There was no time to waste. I kicked out, my foot connecting with Farah's stomach. Like I was, she was still in her dress from the event, but she'd changed her footwear. Gone were the spiky stilettos. In their place were combat boots. It gave her an edge over my bare feet, and she didn't waste it. Farah struck out, her fist glancing off my jaw in a stunning punch that she followed with a hook to my ribs. I doubled over, the pain stealing my breath. She moved in, quick as lightning, but I knew if she got a hold of me, that would be the end. I forced myself upright, using the force of the movement to fuel my uppercut. My fist connected with Farah's diaphragm, and she wheezed out a curse. I didn't miss the moment of opportunity. My knee came up and connected with her chin. Farah doubled over, but it was almost as if she were immune to the pain. She simply kept moving. Her legs snaked out, sweeping mine out from under me and sending me slamming into the floor. The force of it stunned my entire system, a mix of pain and shock flooding me. It was only a matter of seconds before I got my bearings, but it was too late. Farah straddled me, her entire weight pinning me down as she pressed a knife to my throat. I wouldn't, if I were you. My chest heaved as I struggled to suck in air without pressing my neck into the blade, its sharp edges glinting in the moonlight. Farah's dark hair was pulled up into a tight knot now, and there was pure glee in her blue gaze. I really have to thank old Han for her flair for the dramatic. Our little innocent wildflower isn't so innocent after all. It's going to make killing you and pinning it on her all the more fun. She's in jail, I wheezed. Farah grinned. Is she? Because I think someone pulled some strings and got her out on bail tonight. An hour ago, actually. Just enough time for her to get over here, short-circuit Cope security cameras, and stab you a few dozen times. They'll find the knife with her prints on it in the flower pot by her back door. just like they found that rifle in her trunk. "You," I whispered, my mind whirling, trying to connect dots and strings to pull together a picture of the truth. I didn't have time to get fingerprints on that one. But it wasn't necessary. Hannah's so batshit, I think she'd have agreed to murder you and wear your skin as a suit. My breaths came quicker as my brain jumped from one thing to another. "You shot Link?" Farrah winced. "Wasn't supposed to. That boy really does have a hero complex. It was getting a little annoying." "How?" I croaked. "Sheridan. Really? It's quite easy. Point, aim, fire." "How did you know where we were?" I pressed. Time. I needed time to get the upper hand again. My palms pressed into the carpet, the right one smarting where it had been cut, but I just let the flare of pain fuel me. A laugh bubbled out of Farrah, one so joyful it was slightly terrifying. "I have been infiltrating your life for months, babe. I've had a lot of marks over the years, but you might be my favorite." "So mistrustful, but always centering that suspicion on the wrong people. Poor Denver was just out for a buck, and you missed me and Han." A different sort of hurt flared, the kind born of betrayal. Farrah's smile widened as she leaned closer to me. "Remember when I asked you if I could use your phone to look up the mix-up menu? Mine was dead. Poor me. You just handed that sucker over. Easy as 1, 2, 3, getting that spyware on your device. I could read every text message and email." It was a violation. The knowledge that she'd been reading every communication coming in or out of my phone. But it was also so much worse. "You saw the message I sent Trace about where I'd be."
"I did,"
Farrah said, grinning wider.
"Had to steal an ATV from one of your neighbors. That was inconvenient, but I have to say, I didn't mind the show you and Linky Boy put on. Hot. It just would have been better if you'd ended up in a body bag."
My stomach roiled, acid churning as rage swept through me. I braced to buck my hips when a new voice entered the chat.
"Stop playing with your food, Clarissa."
That voice. It was so cold, so devoid of emotion. But it was also familiar. And had me hurtling back 14 years. To that night, the man who had stayed in the shadows, the one who had ordered my mother's death.
"Aw, but it's more fun this way," Farrah pouted.
"Get her up. We need to move quickly. Lincoln won't be on that call for long,"
the man snapped. As if Farrah's leash had been jerked, she moved in a flash, leaping off me and yanking me up by my hair. She pulled my back to her front and pressed the knife against my throat again.
"I told you, we should have gotten him out of the picture long ago."
"I'm not going to kill my son, no matter how much of a disappointment he is. But I will kill you, Sheridan. It's long overdue."
Son. Blood roared in my ears as a wave of dizziness swept through me. Son. The man took 2 steps forward into the glow the moon cast through the window. I had the voice, one I'd never forget as long as I lived. But now I had a face, one I'd seen before. Cold, calculating, no kindness or gentleness. And the last time I saw it was in the family photo Link had shown me in my studio.
56. Lincoln. I raced into the house, skidding to a stop as I looked around. Cope's place was too damned big, and with the staccato pattern of darkness and moonlight, there were too many places for someone who wanted to do harm to hide. I didn't have the first idea where to start looking, but then I realized it didn't matter. I just had to get to Arden. She was all that mattered. I started toward the steps, picking up to a jog, but then I heard it. Voices. Stilling at the bottom of the steps, I strained to listen. I'm not going to kill my son, no matter how much of a disappointment he is. But I will kill you. Each word was like a blow from a heavyweight champ wearing brass knuckles. Because I knew the owner of that voice, the wielder of that cruelty and vitriol, my father. Everything swirled in a mixture of confusion and fury. My father was here, threatening Arden. None of it made sense. I knew he hated me, but enough to kill the woman I loved? A soft growl sounded next to me, and I glanced down to see Brutus. My fingers latched onto his collar instantly, holding him back. Not until it was time. I kept my grip on Brutus, but began creeping up the stairs, straining to hear every word. The sound of Arden's voice was a sweet relief, but the words she spoke nearly brought me to my knees.
You killed my parents.
My father scoffed. I have never killed anyone. Did I touch a weapon all those years ago? No. Have I used this gun in my hand? It's only for protection. I'm a man with jealous enemies, after all.
You pulled the strings. That makes you just as guilty,
Arden snapped.
Does it, though?
He cooed. I'm just a man who likes to make sure the job is done right. Likes to see the blood of his enemies pour from their veins, the life drain from their eyes.
And what did my parents ever do to you? My father didn't want to keep going with your sick game, so what?
Arden's voice trembled with fury or fear, maybe a mix of both. I wasn't sure. Such a promising colleague, with an impressive legal brain and a gift for finding all sorts of loopholes in the law. You can imagine my disappointment when he suddenly decided to end our association. I'm afraid he ultimately proved to be nothing more than a weak waste of space. He wanted to be a part of my world and run in the circles of the true elite. But he wasn't willing to pay the price. Wanted the prize, but never the payment. I reached the top of the stairs, pressing myself against the wall to keep Brutus and me hidden. Hugging the corner, I could just see around the wall, and the image cast in the moonlight had fury burning through my veins. Part of my brain recognized my father, his back to me, a gun gripped in his hand. But at the same time, he was completely unrecognizable, a monster of nightmares. And those nightmares were Arden's.
He paid the price,
Arden rasped.
He would have paid anything. He just didn't want to keep throwing cases.
I couldn't see her, not yet. I just needed to take another step or two without getting my father's attention. He made a tisking sound as he cocked his head to one side. Now, Sheridan, my clients trust me to fix things for them to secure a certain outcome. The trade of a stock with insider knowledge, a child gaining admission to the appropriate university when their grades aren't quite up to snuff, the tipping of a case one way or the other for completely justifiable reasons. How are they going to trust that a judge who suddenly grows a conscience will keep his mouth shut? I climbed one step, then another, trying to keep a hold of Brutus's collar. But the moment I reached the second-to-last stair, I only had eyes for Arden. Her already blood-spattered dress had a couple of tears in it now, and someone had her in a tight grip, a knife pressed to her neck. My body jerked slightly as I recognized who had Arden. Farah. I flipped through my memories, trying to remember everything I could about the woman. An artist from New York who'd come to Sparrow Falls seeking new inspiration and a change of pace. Not exactly someone I could see teaming up with my dad. But the New York tie? That was something. And maybe Farah wasn't an artist at all. I'd never seen her create pieces that required technical skill, had never heard her discuss her friends' creations with any deep knowledge. Maybe it had all been a lie, a facade.
He would have stayed silent,
Arden whispered,
to keep my mom and me safe. He would have kept your dirty secrets.
My father laughed at that as if she'd told him some hilarious joke. But your mother already knew, didn't she? Why else would she have offered me money the way she did that night? She knew your father had betrayed me. He stole from me in a way, and I can't stand for that. What he couldn't stand for was anyone having power over him, anything that could cost him even a sliver of his kingdom.
How does it feel, Farah?
Arden ground out, knowing you'll take the fall for this greedy prick. Farah gripped Arden's hair harder, giving her a good shake.
I don't take the fall for anyone. I line up the dominoes for someone else's demise. Not this time, Arden rasped. He's lying to you. He knows they won't believe Hannah did this on her own. Cutting the power takes planning, and Hannah's been in lockup.
Farah's gaze snapped to my father as if a flicker of doubt were creeping in.
Don't even think about screwing me, Philip.
He held up a hand in an attempt to placate her. That's not how I work. And why would I want to sacrifice my greatest weapon? How many enemies' lives have you infiltrated for me? How many secrets have you stolen? Like a child preening at his words, Farah's whole demeanor softened.
We do have the most fun together, don't we?
My father's head turned slightly, just enough for me to see the sick smile spreading across his face.
We do.
His gaze flicked to Arden.
I have to say, I've grown a little attached to you. All the hours I've put into finding you. The artist's age progression renderings, the investigator following every lead. But it wasn't until you moved that money that I found you.
Confusion lit in Arden's eyes.
Money?
All that money your parents left you just sitting in the bank, and you never once touched it. But 4 months ago, you moved it from one bank to another and logged in from your home computer. The color drained from Arden's face.
You tracked me from a computer.
Well, I didn't. I have people for that. A well-placed network. It didn't take me long to get Farah in place here. I needed to know if you remembered more than my voice in those damn shoes.
Talk about a boring assignment, Farah muttered. Watch her. See if you think she's remembering anything new.
You were so determined to survive, I honestly thought about letting you live, just to keep things interesting. But then you had to get involved with Lincoln.
Hearing my name on my father's lips had sickness roiling in my gut. In that moment, I would have carved his blood from my veins if I'd had a knife. I wanted to burn out any pieces of him in me. Arden's jaw clenched, her fists along with it. My father tapped his fingers against his thigh.
What were the chances? You ending up with a foster brother on that godforsaken hockey team. Kismet. Destiny. But I couldn't let you get close to my son. Risk that you would somehow recognize me from a photo or video, hear my voice and send me straight to prison.
My brother,
Arden growled. My dad cocked his head in confusion. Arden's fingers dug into Farah's forearm.
Not my foster brother, my brother.
My father's head fell back in laughter.
So attached to that fake family of yours. It's such a shame they'll lose you.
His gaze hardened as he looked at Farah.
Do it.
I didn't wait. There was no time, no perfect moment. I released Brutus and charged around the corner going straight for my dad, knowing that Brutus would see Arden in danger and go for her. I hit him with all the force and power I could muster, but my father twisted at the last moment, avoiding the worst of my tackle. A shriek of pain sounded, distracting me for a moment, just long enough to register Brutus's teeth sinking into Farah's calf. Enough time for my father to clock me with the butt of his gun. I stumbled back a few steps, trying to get my bearings. Arden's fist lashed out, connecting with Farah's cheek in a brutal blow. Brutus didn't miss his opportunity. He leapt in the air, his teeth sinking into Farah's arm. The sound that came out of her this time was more animal than human. Her fingers released the knife as if all the tendons holding them in tension had been severed. And maybe they had. Arden kicked the blade away as Farah fell to the floor, screaming in pain.
Alton!
Arden yelled to Brutus, who promptly sat on Farah, using his full weight to pin her to the floor, his teeth lightly pressing against her neck. It was all I could see before my father surged forward. I circled him as sirens pierced the air, my hands moving into a guard position as if that would protect me from a bullet. My father let a slew of curses free as his eyes, so similar to mine, lit with rage. That fury was unlike anything I'd ever seen, as if that cold mask had finally been pulled.
"I should have known you would be my ruin," he sneered.
"That's on you, old man. You're the one who poisons everything you touch." My father's lip curled in a half snarl.
"You know, I wanted to give you a chance to come to your senses. Just needed to strip everything from you first, so you'd come crawling back begging for scraps like the mongrel you are."
I rolled to the balls of my feet. "You should know by now that I'll never come begging for anything from you. I'd starve before I took a single scrap from your tainted table." My father grinned, the motion twisted, just like he was. "Give your mother my best." And then he fired. Everything swirled, the moments, the sounds, the images in front of me. Some part of my brain was aware of law enforcement calling out from below. Another caught hold of a scream behind me. But it all came apart as some force hit me from the side, taking me to the floor as another shot sounded. I hit the carpet and hardwood with enough force to knock the air clean out of me. And then all I could see was Arden. Her mahogany hair a tangle around us, her beautiful eyes wide with shock. My father screamed in pain as it sounded like some deputies took him to the floor. But all I could see was Arden.
"Cowboy," she whispered.
"Vicious." I rolled us so she was beneath me. "Are you okay? Are you..." Everything stilled, the barked orders around me turning to nothing but a faint buzz, because there was blood on Arden's dress. Way more than had been there before, and it was pooling on her belly, spreading across the fabric.
"Help!"
I screamed the word, desperate for someone who could stop this from happening.
"Pressure," Trace clipped. "Pressure on the wound."
My hands moved without thought as I leaned my weight onto Arden.
"Why?"
I croaked, my eyes filling, tears falling and mixing with all that blood.
"Because I love you."
And then I lost those eyes. The ones that had held me hostage. The ones that had saved me. They were gone. And there wasn't anything I could do to stop it.
57. Arden. Nora helped me ease onto the couch as more than half a dozen people hovered. Shep and Thea from their spot from the island where a mound of food was piled. Kai in the corner, a hard look on his face that hadn't left since I'd woken up in the hospital. Rhodes and Anson in chairs opposite, concern even making its way onto the stoic ex-profiler's face. Lolly and Fallon in the kitchen, working on more food we didn't need, and Brutus right by my side, like always. I understood why. Getting shot could get your family riled. Having to undergo a splenectomy on top of it didn't help, and almost a week in the hospital made us all twitchy. "Do you need water? Juice?" Rhodes asked, bracing to stand. "How about this new CBD iced tea I've been perfecting?" Lolly asked hopefully. Shep sent her an exasperated look.
"I don't think now is the time for Arden to be your taste tester."
"Why not?" Lolly asked, her hands going to her hips and making the bedazzled pot leaf on her shirt stand out more, along with the script that read, "I'd hit that."
"We'll know if it helps pain."
"We're not mixing your experiments with Arden's prescription medication, Mom," Nora clipped, her voice taking on that final air. Lolly's gaze cut to me.
"You just let me know if you need a little something extra."
I grinned at her. I think the shower was good enough for me. Best drug around after nothing but sponge baths for a week. Link's movement at the windows was slight. An infinitesimal tightening of his jaw, but I didn't miss it. And the agony from that tiny movement was far worse than the pain in my side. He glanced at his watch and then strode into the kitchen, spilling a single white pill into his hand. Moving to the fridge, he pulled out some of the lemonade Thea had made, knowing it was my favorite. In a matter of seconds, Link was lowering himself to the coffee table in front of me and handing over the glass and pain pill.
"It's time,"
I think doctor said to stay on top of the pain for at least these first few days.
Link's voice was so bleak I couldn't bear it. I took the glass and pills, swallowing the medicine down. I knew I had about 30 minutes before it made me feel fuzzy. I both hated and welcomed the sensation. I hated not being aware, welcomed not having to see all the ways Link was pulling away. He was physically present, but emotionally, he might as well have been on a different continent. It was like he couldn't process it all, and learning all the ways our lives had been inextricably linked before we even met would be a mindfuck on a good day. But finding out that his father had been responsible for killing my parents and terrorizing me had been more than he could take. Link had stayed by my side every moment in the hospital, but that almost made it worse. His quietness and the way he turned inward were a constant slice to my skin, far worse than anything Hannah or Farah had inflicted. Now that we knew Hannah hadn't been responsible for Link's shooting, she had a better chance of getting the help she so desperately needed. Trace had worked with the county prosecutor to get her into a mental health facility with the appropriate security. Farah, or Clarissa, as she was really known, was sitting in county lockup and had been denied bail. Her DNA had been linked to two other murder-for-hire cases, and her fingerprints to the theft of a priceless heirloom that had belonged to one of Philip Pierce's business rivals. That man was far more twisted than anyone could have imagined. He'd begun pulling strings for his own betterment and power, but found he had a knack for it. Blackmail, intimidation, murder. All to get the rich and powerful what they wanted most. He was a broker of sorts, and there was nothing he wouldn't do, and no lines he wouldn't cross. The FBI was still putting the pieces together, but it appeared as if my dad had met Philip at a political fundraiser. Philip had sensed an opportunity. A judge in his pocket in Boston was something he'd be more than happy to use. But as the cases Philip asked my father to throw got more serious, Dad got cold feet. Philip didn't handle the change of heart well, and he wasn't a man who left loose ends to chance.
Arden?
Link's voice cut into my swirling thoughts like a blade. He hadn't called me vicious once since I'd woken up, and I found I hated the sound of Arden on his lips. Sorry, I muttered.
You okay?
He asked. The question was gentle. Everything about Link was gentle these past few days, and I hated that, too. Fine, I lied. The meds just make me loopy. Link nodded, and I could see his knowledge of my lie in his hazel eyes. He pushed to his feet.
I need to make a call real quick. I'll be back.
There were lots of calls, along with the gentleness. I knew they were necessary. He had countless fires to put out with the press getting wind of Philip's arrest, and again when the charges were filed. But as I watched him walk away, I couldn't help but wonder if we'd ever get back the closeness we once had. Don't let that boy push you away, Nora whispered. I turned, taking her in as she lowered herself to the couch next to me. I can't force him to talk to me. Can't force him to let me in.
I don't know about that, Rhodes said. Mr. Anti-Color over here was pretty pushy when he wanted to be.
Anson, who was indeed dressed in only gray and black, glared at her.
I just showed up and you threw yourself at me.
Rhodes let out a huff. Fal softened me up for you.
You're welcome, Fallon called from the kitchen.
He's been through hell,
Nora said softly, her gaze moving to the patio where Link stood, phone pressed to his ear.
Never seen anyone more ravaged than him when you were wheeled into that trauma bay. Never seen anyone more lost.
That was Nora, my mom, the woman who could never resist a lost sheep. She always had to bring them into the fold. And more than that, she wanted her kids' happiness. I reached over, laying my scarred hand over hers. I love you, Mom.
Her eyes misted. Love you, too. And I've fallen in love with Link through you. So don't let him run in some misguided attempt to be noble.
Okay, but I need one thing first.
Anything,
she whispered. My lips twitched. I need some help getting off this couch because it's really freaking hard to stand with these stitches.
I got you,
Kai said, his voice gruff as he strode across the room, scarred motorcycle boots eating up the space. He offered his hands, his larger palms engulfing mine, strong fingers hoisting me up. Thanks, I said on an exhale. Kai met my gaze, the ink on his neck flexing, the wings of the sparrow there almost seeming to flutter with the tension.
Give him hell, killer. He needs someone who will go into battle with him and not be scared of the demons there.
It was almost as if Kai were speaking about himself and Link. And I wanted that for him. I just had to hold on to hope that we could both find it.
58. Lincoln. Thanks, Nina. I scrubbed a hand over my face, the stubble tipping into beard territory now. I really appreciate you handling more than your fair share these past couple of weeks. Nina had single-handedly sniffed out the traitor in our midst, a VP in acquisitions who had been more than happy to take my father's bribes. He'd been fired and reported to the police. My company and the Sparks were safe, but that didn't bring with it the relief it should have.
Link, Nina said across the line, it's what family does. And we've been family since our two misfit selves found each other in undergrad.
A burning sensation lit along my sternum as I struggled to keep breathing.
Love you, Neens. Love you, too. Now go take care of that girl who stole your heart.
That hurt worse, knowing what Arden was to me, what she would always be, but also knowing there was no way she could be mine, not anymore. Will do. I hit end on the call before she could say anything else because I couldn't take it, not when I was this close to breaking. I shoved my phone into my pocket and stared out at the landscape I'd fallen in love with. Stardust and Whiskey grazed in their pasture, completely at peace. We'd gotten closer the last couple of days as I'd taken over feeding and mucking their stalls. It was as if they could sense everything weighing on me and did whatever they could to bring comfort. A throat cleared and I whirled, my nervous system still not back to normal.
Sorry, Trace muttered. I thought you heard me.
I ran a hand through my hair, tugging on the strands.
In another world, I guess.
He nodded.
Talk to the prosecutor. He's been working with the other jurisdictions to figure out who's going to try your father first.
Don't call him that. The words were out of my mouth before I could stop them. Trace winced, a hint of empathy flooding his eyes.
I get that. Trust me. I get it more than you'll ever know.
Hell. I guessed we all carried scars, and some were more similar than we could have imagined.
Mercer County is going to try Philip first. The case is the freshest and strongest. Attempted murder and conspiracy to commit murder. Not to mention breaking and entering, illegal wiretapping, and a host of other things.
Good. And it was. Philip would go to prison. I just hoped like hell he rotted there.
He's not going to breathe free air again, Trace promised.
I hope you're right. Trace stared at me for a moment. His silence set me on edge, evident in the quiet tightening of all my muscles.
Something else? Ellie.
Surprise had my brows lifting. My sister had raced to Sparrow Falls after that night. She'd gotten meals, handled calls to our lawyer, and done anything she could to help.
What about her?
A muscle in Trace's jaw began to flutter as his green gaze went stormy.
She's got a black eye. Thinks we can't see it under the cover-up, but it's there.
The tension eased from my shoulders. She was frazzled after Rhodes called her to tell her what had happened, hit herself with her suitcase getting it out of her closet. The strain didn't leave Trace's expression.
You sure about that?
Ellie doesn't lie, not to me, I clipped. He held up both hands.
Okay, I was just checking.
I nodded. I knew he was trying to help. He was a protector through and through. I just didn't have the energy to explain Ellie's sometimes klutzy ways.
Trace, can I have a minute with Link?
Her voice was like the most beautiful sort of agony, a husky musicality that wrapped around me like a vice grip. Trace's gaze moved to Arden. Of course, I'll be inside if you guys need anything. Neither of us said anything as Trace headed for the back door. I didn't even turn around. Arden's voice was bad enough, but seeing her, I'd crumble. But she took no prisoners like usual. My vicious girl. Arden rounded me, coming to stand between me and the pasture, so I had no choice but to look at her, to see her beauty, her fierceness, her strength. Those gray-violet eyes flashed with anger, sadness, and frustration, all in equal measure. "Are you done?" "With my call?" Her stare hardened. "Playing the idiot isn't a good look on you." I knew it, but I couldn't find anything else to say, because there wasn't anything. Nothing left but the brutal truth. So, I finally spoke it into existence. "How can you even bear to look at me?" I rasped out. Those beautiful eyes flared in shock. "Link," his blood runs through me, "the man who cost you everything. His eyes are my eyes." I knew the sentiments weren't completely logical, but it was all my mind had grabbed onto these past 8 days, tortured and tormented by all the ways Philip Pierce and I were the same. Arden moved in then, getting right up into my space. Her hand lifted, fingertips ghosting over my brows, around, and then down to the sensitive skin beneath my eyes.
"Your eyes could never be anything like his, because they look at the world with kindness and wonder. They look for ways to help, not harm. They see beauty when all he sees is ugliness."
"Arden," I croaked. One hand dropped to rest right over my heart.
"The blood that runs here is yours alone. So uniquely you, it could never belong to anyone else."
That featherlight touch burned me. "You'll never be able to forgive me." Her eyes flashed a brighter purple.
"You're right."
A single fraction of a pause.
"Because there's nothing to forgive. He was a monster to us both, but we slayed that dragon."
"Vicious," I breathed.
"Vicious for all the things that matter, and you will always matter most."
I stared down at her with a mix of wonder, pain, and gratitude.
"I'm not scared of the dark, not anymore, because you gave me the light. Please, don't take that away."
My arms wrapped around her, more of that beautiful agony sweeping in. "I won't."
"Promise,"
she breathed, tipping her head back. "With everything I have, everything I am."
"Good, because I'd hate to have to kick your ass."
A smile curved my mouth for the first time in over a week. "And I know you could do it, too."
Epilogue. Arden. 3 weeks later. "You're sure?" I asked, gaping up at Dr. Avery. He smiled, the lines around his mouth deepening.
"The test doesn't lie."
I'm supposed to be getting my stitches out," I said dumbly. Nora moved in next to me, her hand taking mine and squeezing. "And they're out. This is just a bonus." "A bonus." The slightest flicker of fear lit something deep in the darkest parts of me. But then I remembered the light. Not the one that came from the sun or the bulbs over my head, but the one that lived inside me. The one that Link and I had created together. My hand went to my belly, and this little one was a part of it. A baby. A being that was me and Link. "What if I'm no good at this? What if..." Nora cupped my face in her hands. "Arden, you were made for this. I've seen it more times than I can count. Your kindness, your fierceness, it's the perfect blend. And this baby is so lucky to have you." I gently pressed my hand against where the baby lay, growing. "I love him or her already." Nora's eyes misted. "Me too." I was glad she had come with me today. Link had a meeting he couldn't get out of. There'd been quite a few of those lately. He'd gotten everything back in order for the Sparks and had even managed to rescue a skate company in Minnesota that Philip had targeted because of him. We were healing in all ways. But right now, I was thankful for Link's many distractions.
because it was Nora I needed most in this moment. Someone who'd been down this road in infinite ways. Someone who was everything I wanted to be. My gaze flew to Dr. Avery. What about the surgery? The shooting, is the baby okay? How do we know? Are we... He cut me off with a small smile.
Everything we've gotten back from your labs looks great, but why don't we take a peek and see how your little one is looking?
Now? I squeaked.
You could come back with Link if you'd prefer,
Dr. Avery assured me. I worried my bottom lip, going back and forth in my mind. Could we do both? Dr. Avery chuckled.
Of course we can.
Nora helped me lay back as Dr. Avery rolled over a machine. Pulling up my shirt, I waited. Nora took my hand in reassurance as the doctor squirted on some gel and began moving the wand over my stomach. But all I could think about was everything I'd been through these past few weeks. All this baby had been through. I squeezed my eyes closed, hoping with everything I had that he or she was okay, safe. And then I heard it, a rapid whooshing. But I knew. It's my baby, I croaked, my eyes flying open as he moved the wand again. Dr. Avery grinned so wide it looked like his face might split in two.
Babies, plural. There are two in there.
Nora let out a strangled sound.
Twins?
Dr. Avery nodded. Nora chuckled.
Go big or go home. Isn't that what the kids say?
Twins, I whispered. Nora squeezed my hand.
You okay?
I looked at the doctor. Are they okay? Both of them?
Everything looks great. We'll get you in with a specialist to confirm, but they look like happy, healthy little ones to me. You're around 9 weeks.
My head spun. Link did say he wanted a football team. Nora held the door for me and I stepped out into the sunshine, my mind still reeling. I was leaving with a referral to an OBGYN, 2 weeks' worth of prenatal vitamins, and approximately 82 pamphlets on pregnancy. So much for birth control, I muttered. Nora chuckled as we headed down the sidewalk.
Sometimes life just finds a way.
Are you comparing my babies to Jurassic Park? She only laughed harder.
Hey, it's a good movie.
You and Kai, I muttered. They couldn't watch it enough. My steps faltered as I saw a familiar figure headed down the street. His attire was a little more subdued than normal, no feathers in his hair or hipster hat, but it was Denver all the same. Nora touched my elbow.
Want me to run interference?
I shook my head. It's time. Denver had sent flowers to the hospital and cookies to my house, but we hadn't spoken. The truth was, I'd been putting him off, unsure of what to say.
I'm going to pop into the bookstore, Nora said softly. Find me when you're ready.
I nodded, somewhat aware of her disappearing into the closest shop, but my gaze was on Denver. His pace slowed until he stopped in front of me.
God, it's good to see you. How are you doing?
Just got my stitches out. It was all I could muster. Denver stared at my torso as if he could see where I'd been wounded.
I'm so damn sorry, Artie. For everything, I got caught up, and it wasn't good. I didn't treat you right, and I wasn't there when you needed me because of it.
Den, this, I gestured to my stomach, isn't on you. None of us saw it. He scrubbed a hand over his face.
Isaiah's really twisted up over it. The Hannah stuff has him tweaked, but Farah, that's fucked.
Denver wasn't wrong, and his words had me realizing I needed to have Isaiah over to do a check-in. We'll get through it, I promised.
We will.
Denver's gaze swept over my face.
Is there anything I can do for you? I know it's too little, too late, but if I can help with anything, just say the word.
Could you come back to work? I asked. I hadn't planned on asking him, but it felt right. Maybe early pregnancy hormones were making me ooey-gooey, but I just wanted all the people I cared about close. And Denver might have messed up, but I cared about him and knew he cared about me. Denver's brown eyes widened.
Seriously?
We need to do things differently this time. He nodded quickly.
I know. There won't be any pushing you to do things you don't want to do. I'm taking your lead. And I actually have some ideas for the kids program. I think we should do a clay workshop with Isaiah. Kids love getting messy.
I laughed. I love that idea. Why don't we meet next week? We can talk it out. I actually got some funding recently that will help. I was finally going to put that trust my parents left me to use, and we were going to do a world of good with it.
I'd like that,
Denver said quietly, then winced.
Did you see the article?
I just smiled and shook my head. Sam Levine had gotten the scoop of the century, a reclusive artist who turned out to be a young girl who'd been hidden away in witness protection. But I'd give him this. He still wrote about the kids' program and gave ways to donate. He even connected my past with my need to give children that outlet. It had made the checks and online contributions pour in. It could have been worse, I told him. And honestly, it's nice not to have to hide anymore. And that was true. There was a lightness to me I hadn't had before. No looking over my shoulder. No wondering if someone was staring for too long. I was free. Nora's SUV pulled to a stop in front of my house. She put it in park and turned to me. You going to be okay? My mouth curved. I'm better than okay, but Link might pass out when I tell him. Nora laughed. That man's made of stronger stuff. He's going to be so happy. You think? I asked, the nerves setting in. I know, Nora said, giving my hand a squeeze. I see the way he looks at you. There's nothing he wants more than to build a life with you. This is just that. Maybe just a little sooner than expected. Time is relative. Pretty sure you've lived a lifetime these past few weeks. She wasn't wrong there. Okay, I said the word on an exhale and reached for the door handle. Now or never. Nora released her hold on me. Text me later. I need updates. I love you, Mom. More than all the stars in the sky. Holding that love tightly, I stepped out and crossed to the house. The sun cast it in a beautiful glow, and I heard Brutus's happy bark from inside. I twisted the knob, eager to see my boy. We didn't lock the door anymore. There was no need, and that felt like freedom, too. Brutus bounded over to greet me, letting out more happy barks. I laughed as I gave him a good rubdown. I'm sorry, but you're not allowed in doctor's offices. But I missed you, too.
How'd it go?
Link called from down the hall. I followed the sound of his voice deeper into the house. I found him perched at the kitchen island, which had become his part-time office. The shears were pulled across all the back windows, which wasn't typical, but maybe the sun had been causing a glare on his computer.
So?
Link pressed, sliding off the stool and crossing to me. Picture of health, I said, a nervous smile taking root on my face. Link stilled just before he reached me, his eyes narrowing.
Something's wrong. Was it the blood test? Do you have an infection? Are there additional internal injuries? Do you...
I'm pregnant. I blurted the two words and Link went stock still. Well, everything other than his eyes widening to saucers.
What?
He rasped. Pregnant. Preggers. Knocked up. Bun in the oven. Eaten for two. More than two. Link moved into my space then, into me. One hand slid along my jaw and into my hair, tipping my head back.
Tell me again.
I'm pregnant, I whispered. Twins? Those beautiful hazel eyes flared wide again.
Twins?
A giggle slipped free. It's honestly your fault. You must have super sperm to make this happen. A grin spread across Link's face, the kind that made the whole world stop.
We're having babies.
You okay with that? The nervousness slid back in. We weren't planning.
Vicious.
His hand slid to my belly, and he lightly pressed his palm there.
There's nothing I want more than to make a family with you.
My eyes misted at his words. Mom said you'd say something like that.
She's a smart woman. I love you, Arden. You changed me. From the moment you walked into my life, nothing was the same.
Because I almost killed you? I asked, tears mixing with my smile. Link barked out a laugh.
You do know how to make an entrance.
I love you, I whispered.
more than anything in this life and the next, even if you steal my thunder.
I frowned. What do you mean? Link took my hand and led me toward the back doors, Brutus following behind us. Pulling back the gauzy curtains, he opened the door and guided us out. I came up short. It was my back patio, but also not, because the entire space had been filled with wildflowers. Rustic bins and vases filled to bursting with every color under the sun. It was like stepping out into a sea of blooms. Link, I rasped. He tugged me forward to a small cocktail table, also covered with wildflowers. But there was something else on its surface. Drawings. No, plans. Link squeezed my hand.
Shep finalized the plans. I wanted you to be the first to see. We can change anything you don't like, but...
It's a studio, I croaked.
Of course it is.
Link's finger traced the outline.
These three walls will be glass, and I had him put skylights here and here.
A barn?
Gotta look after my girls,
Link said with a smile.
And there's enough room to get a few more horses if you want. Plenty of grazing space.
The house is massive. Link frowned.
Now that we know we've got two coming, I think we might need to add...
Cowboy, I chastised. A grin tugged at his lips.
I want it to be you and me. Us, blending our lives, making something more beautiful together.
We already are, I whispered.
Marry me.
The two words weren't a question or a demand. They were a simple truth. Tears filled my eyes. I'll bind myself to you in every way I can. Link's hand slipped into his pocket.
You told me once that you sometimes have to bleed to bloom. You showed me that the deepest beauty can come through the worst pain. You saw me through the dark. You gave me beauty from hardship. You showed me how to create that.
He slid a wide gold band onto my finger. The ring was breathtakingly unique, like my art come to life. There was no massive center stone, but an array of tiny ones, inset red diamonds encircled by glittering white ones. It looked like a trailing vine of flowers, almost like that first painting he'd influenced. Link, I breathed.
I knew it couldn't be bulky with your work, and I wanted it to be you. Wanted it to be what you gave me, too.
I looked up into those hazel eyes that had become my home. It's us.
One more thing.
Anything, I whispered. Link's calloused fingers teased around the ring.
When we get married, I think we should both change our last names.
What did you have in mind? The gold in his eyes blazed brighter.
Coulson.
Nothing could have been more perfect. Curious about what happens when Trace and Ellie become neighbors? Find out in Chasing Shelter. This has been Beautiful Exile, Book 4 in the Sparrow Falls series, written by Catherine Cowles, narrated by Samantha Brentmore and Sebastian York. Copyright 2025 by The Pagesmith, LLC. Production copyright 2025 by Catherine Cowles. Production coordination by Lyric Audiobooks. Producer, Katie Robinson. For the latest on all Catherine Cowles titles, visit catherinecowles.com. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.